Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today on Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, I'm here with Jane Hernandez, a tennis pro who's the mother of two tennis players, including one who is joining us, and his name is Jeff. We're here to talk about tennis parenting. Also joining us is my brother, mental game coach Dr. Patrick Cohn.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Jane, and hi, Jeff, and hi, Patrick.
Hi, Lisa.
Jane, well, you just mentioned to us that one of your major challenges with Jeff was that he was a perfectionist. Can you, and he is now, Jeff, I guess I should back up. Are you out of college or out of high school at this point?
Right now I'm playing college tennis in the NCAA Division I.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to make it professionally after, so still playing.
Oh, okay, great. So, Jane, so you mentioned that you had a specific issue that the two of you dealt with, I guess maybe when Jeff was in high school?
Well, actually, what I found was when Jeff was very young, he started tennis at a reasonably young age, about 4, and we started him in tournaments about the age of 8 or 9, and he was a very self-motivated, he tended to be a perfectionist. Pick up on that at the beginning. We found that he would get into matches, and when things were not going his way of dealing with that was he would get angry. And he really never had any anger issues away from the court. You know, it just would come out when he was playing tennis.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And
so Jeff, you're not a perfectionist in other areas of your life? Because usually they go hand in hand.
Well, what I found was that I love tennis so much that I cared about it so much and I wanted everything to be perfect that, you know, I found it was just I had so much passion for it. And I guess you could say for the other sports when I was growing up, there was perfectionist kind of things in there, but tennis was my favorite thing. And I think that I cared so much, I put so much pressure on myself as in making everything right, you know, and not knowing how to deal with something if it's not going as well, just to kind of get the most out of it at that moment. So,
Patrick, do you have any comments about that? I think that's pretty classic.
Well, you had mentioned that it was early on in your career when you first started playing tournaments. How long did this persist for you? Is there still some leftover from that? Do you still kind of battle that? And what have you done to really overcome some of the challenges with perfectionism? Because along with perfectionism, and some of that is highly effective, as we talk about, you know, at the Ultimate Sports Parent, you know, because of the work ethic and the dedication and the self-motivation. But we know other things come with it, such as the high expectations, getting easily frustrated when you're not performing up to your expectations, lack of confidence because you feel like you're underperforming all the time. There's other issues related to that, such as social approval and worrying about what others think. And sometimes, you know, maybe even being motivated for the wrong reasons instead of the right reasons. So, how much of that have you been able to deal with, and what specifically have your parents done, or your mom, as kind of the coach parent, been able to help you with that?
Well,
that's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, I think as I matured, I was able to deal with the perfectionism more easily because I started to understand what it meant, you know, seeing in the things on TV about how Tiger Woods was a perfectionist, but seeing how they were able to control it and understanding, I think at the start I focused so much on the result of winning and losing, and as I've gotten older I started to focus more on just getting better, more process-oriented, And that took a lot of pressure off myself because, like you said, when I would be a perfectionist, it was so much on winning or losing. And if I lost, then everything was horrible. Rather than I could lose and I could still be playing well, I could have still accomplished my goal of getting better, of getting my, say, my forehand cross court, using it more often in the match or something like that. And when I approached it like that, it took the pressure of everything having to be perfect. Now, I still find myself, like you said, having sometimes too high of expectations, but compared to where I was, my anger on the court and my pressure that I put on myself on the court has gone down. But I've still used the positive things to perfectionism, as in I'm always out at night practicing, or I'm always motivated to work. And so I think I'm starting to find and be able to use the benefits of it rather than the negative qualities.
Now, I'm interested in how Jane got contributed to this.
Yes, well, I think when he was young, we tended at the beginning to try to control his anger. We were trying to find ways to help him with that. And what happened was we would find he would get into a match and he would use so much of his energy and emotional energy on trying to control himself and trying to stay in the match. Usually, if it, you know, by the end of the second set into the third set, he would just run out of gas. And, you know, I can remember as a parent at the beginning trying to, you know, couldn't understand how he could be out there and all of a sudden he'd be losing, and it would almost look like he wasn't even trying. And it was really that he just had nothing left emotionally. He was so spent. So we for a long time, we focused, and I think this is an important point. We tended, when he had a bad loss or anything like that, we'd go back to the coach and focus on the technical things that he was doing wrong. And we just kept running into this wall because it wasn't his technical things that were hurting him. I mean, he would hit the ball unbelievable, and people would walk by and be thinking that he'd be winning the match when he wouldn't be. But it came to a point, and I can remember it was about when he was 14, where we realized that we had to spend more time on his mental side of the game. And the funny thing was we bought some tapes, and he started listening to just things at night, and he started writing down affirmations and just trying to see a perfect game. And, you know, it was just very slight things at that age, and the turnaround was phenomenal. I mean, it was at that point, I can remember he, it just took a jump up and went from being, you know, maybe 5 or 6 in Texas to being 1 or 2 in Texas and getting nationally ranked. And it was just that slight change that we did. And
how old was he then? I just want to make sure I've got the...
He was about 14.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the other thing that we found was that he, because he was a perfectionist, he wanted to hit all the time. You know, it was like he wanted to be prepared. He'd go out and spend a lot of time drilling. And I think sometimes that actually was counterproductive because it was so much time spent on hitting the perfect ball that he would come out and he would be, you know, it would be overtrained. And so once we realized that that it was just more preparing for himself mentally and not physically, that's when things turned around.
What do you think encouraged that along the way? I mean, I've got my own thoughts. What do you think encouraged? Do you think it's coaches that encourage that developing that perfect technique and always focusing on faults? Do you think sometimes as parents who are perfectionists, I mean, we've had other people on the show say that, you know, I'm guilty as charged. I'm a perfectionist, and we imparted some of that on our child as well. Or do you think it's just the nature of the sport creates that?
Yeah. Well, I think in a way it's the nature of the sport, because I think when the kids are young, and maybe a combination of all of them, but when the children are young, obviously technique is important. And so, you know, until everyone gets to a certain point in the game where they all hit the ball well and they all compete well, that's when the real true competitors tend to rise to the top, and they're the ones that end up doing better at the in the ages of 14, 16, and all the way through, because they're the ones that can make the big shots at the important time. So I think at all of a sudden you spent so much time focusing on the strokes, and then you realize, wow, my kid, it's not that at all. And I'm a tennis pro, and I think you kind of hit an important point. I think as tennis pros, we tend to, I mean, that's our job. We tend to push the more technical part of the game because that's the part that we can control.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that a lot of the very top programs are now bringing in the mental tennis, and they realize that it's something that, you know, as a tennis pro, I'm not qualified to really, I can help, but I'm not qualified like someone like yourself to lead a person. And I think now the push is to try to bring that aspect into the program. I think it's probably as important or more important as they get older.
Any other questions, Lise?
No, I think Jane and, well, I could speak to them all day. They have such interesting things to say. But I would say that we ought to get back with Jane and Jeff another time and find out how Jeff is doing.
Well, I would love to do that, and I'd love to bring my other son in because he had other things that we could deal with, and I think you would really enjoy talking to him.
Oh, that would be great. Now, how old is he?
Mario is 21, and he's playing Division I tennis also. He was the one that struggled competing, just the confidence level, and I was talking to him the other day, and he wanted me to say on this, and he said, just tell those kids that maybe are, 10 or 12 or 20 in their state, and they never are up on the top, to keep working on it, because he has taken the time and now is playing line one doubles against top teams in the states, and it's taken him, I think, this long to get the confidence, but he feels so good about himself because he's worked on it, and it's taken time, but he's found his mental game, and it's he would love to talk to you.
Well, yeah, we have to save that for another one. Yeah, let's arrange that. But in the meantime, thank you so much for joining us, and it sounds like we'll be talking again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right,
thank you.
To listen to the rest of this audio, visit kidssportspsychology.com.